Today's daf in Masechet Brachot brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh on this Rosh Chodesh Adar Shnat Tav Shin Pei is daf Nun Gimel. Hopefully gets us into Gan Eden right by itself. Amazing things. And we were holding at the bottom of Nun Beit Amud Beit. Right at the bottom, we started talking about the idea of a Ner Sheshavat. Tana Rabbanan, the bottom line. Or Shavat mevorchin alav, v'shelo Shavat ein mevorchin alav. My Shavat and my lo Shavat. So we're talking about over here not using Avdolah candle that hadn't rested over Shabbos. Now, what exactly do we mean by rested over Shabbos? Does it mean that it didn't do anything on Shabbos? It wasn't wasn't lit on Shabbos, even in a place where it would be a chiyuv to light it or b'filu b'melachah teatera. That's not true. Because the din is that if you lit a light for a woman giving birth, that she needed that light, or for a chole, you absolutely can say the bracha borei me'oreya eisha matzah Shabbat. So that can't be what it means. When it says Shabbat, it means it didn't do any avera. So that means, in other words, no one did something that would have been considered to be a chilul Shabbos with it. The fact that the light itself was burning but hadn't been lit, that would be fine. And therefore, Tanya Nami Achi, if you have a lantern that, or a lamp, it means, the Rashi says lantern, but we'll see that that's a little bit of a problem later on. So a lamp that was burning all day long, if it had been lit before Shabbat, the Motzei Shabbat, Mevorchin Aleha, Tana Rabbana. Suppose a Nochri, we said before that we don't use the or of a Nochri, and we're talking about the question over there, Misibot Shel Akum. And over here, we would have the question of whether the Nochri had lit the light on Shabbos itself. And therefore, even though the Nochri personal obviously is not usher in lighting, but nonetheless, if a Goy, we're still going to be machmir because the Yisrael in the same situation would have been considered to be doing a malach. The question isn't whether someone was chayav from the malach. Okay. So now we have a goy lights a candle from a Jew after Shabbos. And Yisrael, maybe you lit a light from a goy after Shabbos. The din is that we are mevarech on it. But if a nochri lit a light from another nochri after Shabbos, so then, strangely enough, ein mevarechim alav. So he said, even though we said that you're not allowed to make a bracha on a ner from the ner of a goy, somehow or other, if it becomes the ner of Yisrael, that's okay. What sense does that make? I'm assuming it's because we're concerned over here. We're not talking about Mesibot of Akum. We're talking about because we're afraid that he lit the light on Shabbos, right? So maybe it's Mishum de lo Shavat. Okay, so because of that, even though he lit it the second one from the first one, but we look at the mekor of the lamp. Where did the light come from initially? It came from somewhere that wasn't Shavas. But if that's the meaning, so then that would be true even if a Jew lit the lamp from the goy. So why over there is it mutter? And maybe you're going to tell me the reason that it's mutter is because hachisura azalei v'achri nahu, that the light that was there initially. In Achinami, we would not have used that light. But listen, gentlemen, the light continuously is being created anew, right? Because we're combusting new things, and that's generating new energy. So who the heck cares whether the first part that was there was burning on Shabbos? That's not what I'm being nene from. We've got a new light right now, right? And that's the reason that if the Jew lights from it, it would be okay. And the new light was born, so to speak, in the hand of the Yisrael. So then if that would be the case, then you'd still have a problem. Obviously, we could have asked now that same thing should be true about a goy. Fine. But Tosfos says this question is better. So then how do you explain the fact? This is a brilliant question. Suppose somebody carries out a flame, does not carry out a candle. Now, how do you get a flame without a candle? Aha. So what you do is you put a bunch of lighter fluid inside of some kind of thing that does not have a shear of yetziah. You know, so in a piece of broken pottery that you wouldn't be chayev on the pottery for taking out. So now what's the shiloh? The only thing that you need is the flame. Ah, so if you carry the flame from Shizayach to Shizarabim, so Moshe is indicating, if you carry the flame from Shizayach to Shizarabim, you would be chayev because a flame is considered to be something that you took out. The problem is, if we're looking at the flame as a constantly regenerating thing, so then how could you be chayiv? In order to be chayiv on a hotzah, you have to be oker something and put down the same thing in the other rishus. But if the flame was regenerating, there's no way to do yakir v'anocha. In which case, you should be potter. Amar chayiv, ma sha'akar lo iniach, u'ma shiniach lo akar. It's two separate items. So obviously, we don't view it as something that has nothing of the original in it. Elo liolam. Disurinami ites. What we have to say is that we always look at the continuum of the burning as including the first part as well. So maybe Lagabe Hotsa, there's something of that first energy. Masha Enkin, when it comes to the bracha on Havdalah, over there the bracha could be on the new part, on the Hetera. So that's no contradiction from the two things. But if that's the case, then obviously it should be true even from a Nochri. So why in the world wouldn't we make a bracha on a Nochri? Says the Gemara, the truth is you could. Enochinami, the only reason we don't is because the Rabbona made a Gezerah. Do not take the lamp from a Nochri, Bichlal. Even a Nochri, Shidlik, Binochri. Why? People aren't going to be smart enough to know the difference between one case and the other. So if you allow them to do that, they'll also take a lamp from the original Nochri. Or maybe they'll use the light instantly after Shabbos, before it had a chance to be Mitchalef, to be a new lamp. Okay, because of that, we made the Gezerah, don't take it from a Goy. That's all. It's not meant to make sense. I think the Rebbe looks a little too comfortable over there. I mean, I know Rebbes are supposed to be sitting back in these big, thick chairs with, you know, plush velvet all over, but lying down for the Daf Yomi is really, I mean, that's Rebbe squared. Is this Rebbe square? Tana Rabbana. Hayama Halechutz Lekrach. Suppose somebody's walking outside of a city on Matzoy Shabbos and he sees light. Can he make a bracha on that light? So if Rov of the city are Goyim, then he's not allowed to. If Rov of the city are Yisrael, he is allowed to. Wait a minute. That's a contradiction. You can't have it both ways. What would be the din if it was half and half, right? First you say, if Rov are Goyim, then not. But if it's half and half, then it's okay, right? But then you say, if Rov are Yisrael, you can, which is meaning if it's half and half, you can't. How can you say both of those things in the same sentence? Well, the truth is that really, even if it was half Jew and half not Jew, you'd be allowed to. The only reason we say Rov in the over here in the Sefer is because since in the Reisha it would only have been Rov that made a problem, so it said in the Sefer Rov Yisrael also just to keep the language parallel. But it did not mean literally it has to be Rov. Tana Rabbana. Somebody's walking outside of a city and he sees a child running. And the child's got this torch in his hand. It's right after Mitzray Shabbos, the earliest possible moment. So then he should try to find out whether the child is a Jew or not. If he's a Jew, then he can be Mavarech on that light. What do you mean, a child? Who cares if it's a child or if it's an adult? Omer, if you don't have a rap, listen, we're talking about over here, it's Mamish Samach L'Shkiasach HaMaskin. It's right after Ben Hashmashes, right? Now, certainly you don't expect an adult Jew to be walking around an instant after Shabbos with a cigarette in his hand. I mean, how's that possible? He certainly would have waited and a little bit, you know, to make sure it's after Shabbos and he would have a chance to light the cigarette. It's only if a five-year-old is walking with a cigarette that you could assume that he didn't control himself, but not a normal person. Anyway, maybe this was all talking about before the invention of cigarettes because, man, most of the minyanim for the smokers start during Ben Hashmashes, and they've already got the cigarettes within reach the moment they finish saying Shmoneh Esrei. So I don't know. So anyway, but you see in this Gemara that the cigarette minyanim are not such a good idea. So Gadol, he must be non-Jewish. Mukhamilse the Vadei Nochri. A baby, maybe, you know, he might just have happened at that moment. It could be that Ikri, I mean, it wouldn't be normal, but maybe he wasn't, you know, so aware of things. Stunner up on it. Guy is walking outside, and it's Mitzray Shabbos, and he sees a fire. Now, he does not know whether, basically, it's got enough for him to actually look at it as a light, or whether it's a fireplace that was lit for heat. I mean, you can't make a bracha Moreha Esh on it. So it depends how bright it is. If it is so bright that it looks the same level of illumination as the Pia Kivshan, which is very bright. That's talking about a fire that is lit for processing lime. But then he could make a bracha on it, but if not, he can't. Now, one brisa says, if it actually was the light of a kivshan, you can make a bracha on it. The other one says, no, if it really was the light of a kivshan, I mean, we're just using that as an indication for how bright the light was. But if it really was from a kivshan, then it wasn't made in order for you to be able to see with. And therefore, ein mevarchin alav, so make up your mind, lo kasha, ha betchila. The brayta that says you cannot make a bracha on a light that's coming out of a kivshan is talking about where you started burning the lime now. Over there, there was absolutely no use that was thought of to be used for light. You only do that for processing. And halabisof, after you're already finished, there's a little bit of rock left that hasn't been processed. Over there, they used to make a bright light in order to both burn up the remaining lime and also to use, that was the minhag, that they would then use that for light. And because of that, the brayta was talking about that case, and there you could. Now, there's another contradiction in which one brayta says, if you've got fire coming out of your oven or of your stovetop, your kirayim, you can say a bracha of it. And the other one says, you can't say a bracha. How do you explain that? Also over there, habetchila, the brayta that says you cannot is talking about you lit it and now you're baking bread in it, but all of itself, with the fire that you light at the end afterwards, you take some small pieces of wood, you put it over the oven, and that way it maintains the heat of the oven so you'll be able to use it later. And the minhag was that they use that for light as well. Tony Chod, another contradiction. It's one brayta says that if you've got light inside of a shul or inside of the Beit HaMidrash, then you can light you can say Borei Mireya H. The other brayta says, no, it's not lit for purposes of illumination. Says the Gemara Lokasha, it depends. The brayta that says you do not light, that's talking about that there's an Adam Choshev. And the light was lit in order to be Mechabed him. So it's oftentimes, even though we don't need, so we have the candles in the Beit HaKnesset. Nobody's using those candles. They may have the light up above, you know. And they light it anyway because it's just a sign of honor, like we use in fancy seudas and so on. So if there's an Adam Choshev, then we lit candles in his honor. And that's not for lighting. But if it was not, there was no Adam Choshev there, then it's clear that the reason that we lit the lights was because we wanted to be able to see. Or maybe both are talking about whether there's an Adam Choshev. And that light, where there is an Adam Choshev, is not lit for anything but Kovod. But the difference is that the brayta that says you're allowed to be Mavorek is talking about that you have a chazan that eats there. The chazan, by the way, in that time did not mean the guy who sings. The chazan was the guy who took, chazan HaKnesset is the guy who took care of everything in the shul for you. So he used to sleep there also, would eat there. Then he needed light. Mashenka, the brayta says you can't. He's talking about there's no chazan that lives in the shul. And therefore, it was only litten for covet. Or, you could even say, both are talking about that there is a chazan. And generally speaking, we would not light special candles for a chazan even to see if there's a good moon up. So if it's a time of the month or the time of the year where the moon is going to provide enough light, so then one bright is talking about where there's a moon, and one is talking about where there is not a moon. I don't know. I don't see Alon. I thought I had seen Alon walk in. But, you know, one is where Sahara is there. One is where she's not. Tana Rabbanan. Hayu Yoshvim beBeit HaMidrash. People are sitting in the Beit HaMidrash, and they bring a light, and now it's time to say Borei Mireya Eish. Didn't have a chance before to say Borei Mireya Eish. Beit Shammai says, let everybody make a bracha for themselves. Beit Hillel says, no, one guy should say, Borei Mireya Eish, should be motzi everybody else, because there's a concept of Berov Am Hadrat Melech, and therefore, the more people that are yotze together in a bracha, the more covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu it is. Now, Beit Hillel explained himself, okay, because Berov Am Hadrat Melech, but why did Beit Shammai said it's better for everybody to make their own bracha? Beit Shammai holds that it's going to cause such bittul Torah, somebody's going to bring in a light. Okay, somebody's going to bang on the table. Rabbi Yisai, we have a light. It's time to say Borei Mireya Eish. By the time everybody shuts up, you've wasted 5 minutes that they could have spent the time doing constructive learning. So you don't do that. If somebody sneezed at the Beit HaMidrash, they would never say Gesundheit. The next thing we had in the Mishnah was, you do not use the ner or the besamim that were made for a mate. And that's because we understand the ner, my taima, the ner is there as a ner neshama. Basically, it's the covet of the mate. And the besamim are there not for you to smell good things, but for you not to smell decay from the mate. It actually depends. If the mate is an Adam Choshev, and even in the daytime, you would have been lighting candles in his chashivas, and therefore it's clearly not for light purposes, then even at night, you do not make a brocha over that lamp. But kol she'ein motzin lefanav ela b'layla, where we would never have lit candles for this individual, unless it was nighttime and we needed to walk out, so then obviously it's for the light. And then mevorchin alav. Amar Rav Huna, if you have a spray can of besamim shel beit hakiseh, so you're going to spray the bathroom, or shemen ha'asui la'avir at the zo'ama, or the type of oil that you used for your hands, which again is not there to smell. There are types of oil that are there to smell, but this was oil that you use as a deodorant. So deodorants have smells in them, but the purpose of a deodorant is not to smell good; it's not to smell bad. And therefore, if you're talking about something that's made for bathroom or for covering over the odors of food on the hand, you can't see a brocha over that because its essence wasn't for the good smell. It was just to make sure you don't smell the bad smell. Now, obviously, there are, as Rashi points out, what we had before of the Shemen HaFar Samon, that's very choshev. If you use that, then that's meant to be, that's the Shemen HaRev, and that you would say a brocha on because that's made specifically for the good smell. Are you telling me that wherever I did not make something for the purpose of actually smelling at this point, so then lo mevorchin alav? But that doesn't make sense because it says if you walk into a perfumery and this guy's got like all kinds of stuff in the drawers, all the ingredients in his drawers, a lot of perfume on the shelves, you know, and obviously the place smells, but the point is that it's a storage house and a sale place. It's not meant for you to sit there and smell things. And then the din is like this. If you smell things, then afilu yashav shav kol yom kulo, you could be staying there for hours, you know. You make the bracha once. If you go in and out, you make a new bracha on the smells every single time. Now, over here, we didn't make the smells for smelling. These smells need to be put into a perfume afterwards. People buy it in order to smell. Why am I making a bracha? Says the Gemara, well, of course they're made for smells. What do you know about marketing, man? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. If the guy's got a perfumery, you think he doesn't want the smell to go all over the place to attract buyers? That's the point. Of course, the Reich Nam Yudei Avida. How is he going to get a customer? Turn around on it. A guy is walking outside of a city. Same issue that we had before about the light. He smells something. So now it might be coming from Saturday Night Live with those, you know, Goyisha parties going on. We said you're not allowed to use that. So over there, Imrov of De Kochavim, so then Einu Mevarech. Imrov Yisrael, then he is Mevarech. Rabbi Yossi says, no, because you have a Rove, even if Rove are Yisrael, you can't be Mevarech. Because, you know, a lot of Jewish people, they are so superstitious that you have to treat their stuff like it's Avodah Zarah. Because you have all these women, you know, they light the incense. Why are they lighting the incense? You know, to drive away the demons. Now, driving away the demons, my God, that's Kishuf, right? So you're not allowed to be Nene from Kishuf. That's like Avizrael Avodah Zarah. So if you put together these superstitious people with the Avodah Zarah, then you don't. What are you talking about? I mean, how many people do that? I mean, there may be some weirdos, but Atukulu Lekshafi Mekatrim. I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying, look, take a look at the total percentage of kosher smells, okay? Basically, what you have is a miut, obviously, that are doing it for these superstitions. But you also have a miut of people that are going to be lighting incense in order to get the clothing perfumed before they put it back in the closet. Remember that in those days, they didn't really have much of an option to do dry cleaning, so they would perfume the clothing and then put it away. So basically, you have a roof which is not made for smelling. You do not make a bracha if it's not for smelling. If you're walking in Tveri on Erev Shabbos, or if you're walking in Mitzray Shabbos in Tzipori, and let me just tell you, gentlemen, these places are Barnea's neighborhood. This way we can save some time. Then the din is you would not be Mavarech, because in Tveria, they used to do the smelling up of the clothing before Shabbos. So Friday afternoon, the Rav, this is not talking about, obviously, Borei Morei Aish. It's talking about whether you make a Borei Minei B'Samim. So over there, they're doing it in order to Gamer Takelim. So they used to make their clothes smell good before Shabbos. No, they did in Tveria. And in Tzipori, they made this smell good after Shabbos, because they felt so sad about losing the Neshama Yisera. And as the Rebbe will tell you, when he loses the Neshama Yisera, he has to burn an awful lot of incense together with some beautiful music, sweet-smelling music, and only then can he face the new week. Tana Rabban. Hayama Alech B'Shuk Shel Avodat Kochavim. Somebody's walking in a place where they have usher things, and he decides, must smell so good, I gotta smell. And he's Nisratzel Ariach, he's considered to be a chote. Because if he would have walked through and he would have said, oh gosh, I'm not supposed to smell that, oy vey, I better get out of here as fast as I can, then he's not considered to be a chote. But if he goes and he wants to smell it, so then he's considered to be a chote. Ein mevarchem ala ner acheu to lener leoro. So the next thing we said, you've got to be able to be nene from the fire before you can make a bracha mitzvah Shabbos. Some of you don't know, this does not mean you literally need to be in a position to be right next to it, that you actually get some type of hanah to read something with or whatever. What it means is it needs to be in a position where if you wanted to be nene from it, you could, meaning that you're standing close enough to it that you would be able to be nene from it. But if you're standing far away, you just see a fire, that's not good. It just means you'll emit b'korav mishtamish la'ira, then even if you're far away. V'chein amar Rav Ashi, actually, it's even, the Mishnah is saying that b'richuk mokom shaninu, what we're talking about over here is even if you are far away, and if you were up close, you would be able to be nene. That's okay. It means somebody can be nene if they're near. I don't have to be near. So that's what Rav Yehuda meant. If a guy has got a candle, but it's covered in such a way that he's hiding it, let's say, in his lap, he's using it to warm up with, or it's inside of a lantern. Some learn that this means a lantern that is not glass lantern, or it's very thick glass, or maybe metal lantern with the little holes in it. Or you did see a flame, but you didn't use it for light, or you did use it for light, but you don't see the flame, which we'll discuss in a moment. You can't be mavarech. So we have two things over here, seeing the flame and being nene. It's easy to get a case where you could see the light and use it, but you don't see the actual flame. Yeah, it could be that the flame is around the corner and it's lighting everything up and your eyes are not sticking out on stalks around the corner. But how could you be looking directly at the flame and it shouldn't be roi to be nene from it? It must mean that you're standing far away. So you see from here that it's not true. You actually have to be near it to be able to use it. No, not necessarily. What we're talking about over here is at the end stages of a flame burning where it gets dimmer all the time. So over there, if you're standing near it, you still see it. But you know that terrible feeling when your candle's, where it's just like you catch a little bit of flame. There's nothing you can do with it. That's what we're talking about. Tana Rabbana. If you got glowing coals, gechalim lo hashot, so then mevarchin alehem, because these were lit for purposes of actual light. But if you see gechalim that are omemot, so these are half out already, ein mevarchin alehem. So what do we mean when we say lo hashot, that you are allowed to be mevarchim revchista? That's at a level where if you would stick anything in, stick a little piece of wood into it, a toothpick, it would burst the flames right away. So it's still giving off that amount of energy. Iboilu. How do we pronounce that, by the way? When you said omemot, is that omemot or is that omemot with an ayin? Tashmad, Yom Rav Chisda Bar Avedimi, it's a pasuk. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is comparing the amazing power and beauty of Ashur, which, by the way, is in Barnea's neighborhood, is so powerful that even the Arazim of Gan Eden wouldn't have caused any dimming in the glory of Ashur. So Arazim lo amamuhu, it says, with an ayin, began Elohim. That means it's meant to be pronounced with an ayin and not with an aleph. Rava Amar. Rava says it's not true. You have to be able to be so close to it that you personally can be Yehuto. And that's Yehuto mamash. Not literally that you used it, but that it's usable. The kama, what? I mean, how well would you have to be able to use it? What is considered to be use for Havdolah? Well, Havdolah is the use for Havdolah, says Ula. It's got to be enough light. You could see the difference between an Isser coin and a Pundian coin that look alike, but you could see well enough to see the difference. These were different weights, according to some, or they might have been coins, but they were even more similar than a Isser and a Pundian. Rav Yehuda Mevarech ad Be'ada Daila. So Rav Yehuda used to say the bracha on light that was coming out from a neighbor of his, that is Be'ada Daila, but that was quite a distance from his house. He could see the light, but he certainly couldn't be nene from the light. But remember that that was Rav Yehuda Shita. You don't need personally to be nene from the light. You just need to be able to have a light that if you were close to it, you would be able to be nene. So that was fine. Rava Mavarach Ada Be'guria Barchama, which was nearby, according to Rashi, because Rava holds that you need to be Korev, as we just said. Abaya was Mavarech Ada Be'bar Avua, and Abaya used to use, we don't know exactly where it was located, so it doesn't help us very much. Rashi doesn't say anything. Omri Yudomara. You do not spend a lot of time running around looking for a ner for Avdolah. Oh my God, I can't say Avdolah. I don't have a ner shel Avdolah. What am I going to do? You start banging on all the doors, and the neighbor's going nuts. So wrong. Because it's not a mitzvah that is a chiyuvit, so therefore, keder shemachazrin ala mitzvot, it's basically the type of thing that if you have it, so then you say it. So it's basically a bracha like, if you heard the thunder this morning, so you made the bracha of kocho gvurato, right? And but you don't go running around, where can I find myself a thunderstorm to make a kocho gvurato malei olam? Well, you do the same thing with the light on Mitzvah Shabbos. And Rabbi Zera says, you know something, I used to do that. And boy, did I make a mistake. I spent half an hour trying to find a light for my Havdolah. Whew, after I heard Rav Yehuda Merav's psak, I don't look around anymore. If I happen to have one, then I happen to have one. That's great. And this, by the way, is true about the Besamim as well. Next piece of the mission is, of course, we bring the wrong piece. So don't be concerned about Misha Achal, Velo Birech, Birkat Amazon, and so on and so forth. Anyway, the main point over here is, do you or do you not make the bracha? You have to go all the way back. That's the point that we're worried about. Omer of Zvidvi Temos Machlokis Rimmer Betila Bechamai. According to Betil, you could say your Birkat HaMazon where you remembered. According to Bechamai, you got to go all the way back. Omer of Zvidvi Temer of Dimi Baraba. The whole Machlokis over here is if you made a mistake. You did it by accident. If you did it on purpose, you decided, I don't really have time right now to bench. Why don't I run downstairs, catch the bus, and I'll bench on the bus? So then, Divrei Hakol Yashul Mekom Yivorech, everybody agrees, even Beit Hillel agree, you got to go all the way back. Well, obviously, it said in the Mishnah, it says, Shachach v'lo birech. So why did Rav Zvid have to tell us, Davke b'shachach? No, because Ma'atatemo Adin Afilu b'meizit. You might have thought that the reason that Ketani Shachach is to tell you that Beit Shammai holds that even if you were Shachach, you'd have to go all the way back. But Beit Hillel really doesn't mind one way or the other. And if you'd left on purpose, you also don't have to go back. Kamash Malon Rav Zvid, no. Even Beit Hillel would be made that you'd have to go back. And now we have an interesting conversation, very sweet conversation. Tanya, so Omer Lam Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. It's crazy. What do you mean you got to go back? Imagine a case where the elevator is broken in the Empire State Building and the guy had eaten in the restaurant on the top floor of the Empire State Building, had gone all the way downstairs, and he forgot to bench. Now, are you suggesting that he's got to walk up 100 stories to be able to bench? So, Mishachal Barosha Birav, Mishachach V'yorad V'lo Birach. Are you trying to say, L'divreichem Yachtul Rosha Birav V'yivarech? Said Beit Shammai to Beit Hillel. Oh, really now? And according to you, if you forgot your iPad in the restaurant on the top of the Empire State Building, and the guy's going, me, go back for my iPad. I already came downstairs. So obviously I'll leave my iPad for the waiter. Yeah, like heck. So lechvod atzmo, he's going to go up, right? But lechvod shamayim, why should he go back? I mean, it's outrageous even to think such a thing. I should walk all the way back just to make a brocha? Oh, man. Anyway, there were actually a case where there were two talmidim. So one of these guys accidentally forgot to say Birkat HaMazon, and he went all the way back up, even though it was accidental, and he was machron himself like Beit Shammai. And when he got to the top of the Empire State Building, guess what he found in his seat? A wallet full of gold. Arnika de Dahava. There was one who did like Beit Hillel, except that he thought that Beit Hillel was matir making the brocha in the bus, even if you do it on purpose. Well, he did it on purpose, but it was bad for him. He got eaten by a lion because, man, he rushed to that bus just to get to the safari, but he never got home. So he was in this caravan, and they had eaten, you know, they made a stop for eating. Now the caravan is moving on ahead, and he realizes, oh my God, I forgot to say Birkat HaMazon. What am I going to do? I mean, obviously, if I tell these guys, listen, you know, wait a second, we got to go back. I'm going to have to say Birkat HaMazon. They're going to say to me, what are you, nuts? The world is full of God's presence, honey. We got news for you weirdos. You can say a brocha to the Lord wherever you are. You want to say Birkat HaMazon? Please go right ahead. We ain't stopping. So obviously that's what they're going to say. I know what I'll do. I'll tell them, oh my God, I left my golden yonah. Oh, I carried around all over the place. Please, I got to go pick up my golden yonah. Okay, so then, of course, they waited for him, you know. So sure enough, he goes back, says Birkat HaMazon, and guess what he finds? A golden yonah. Now, what in the world made him say a golden yonah of all crazy things? That's because Klal Yisrael is nimshal to the yonah. It says, kanfei yonah nechpa bekesev, ve'evrotea birak rak charut. So here we've got the wings of a dove that are covered with silver, and the muscles are covered with gold shining. So what is the comparison? A yonah uses its wings to save itself. It can fly on a wing and a prayer, and it can also fight with its wings. It doesn't use its beak. So to Yisrael are in an etzolan elabim mitzvot. How long do you have to say Birkat HaMazon? So we said until such time as the food is digested. Well, what does that mean? Kamashiriku. Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as you're not hungry. Rish Lakish says, as long as you continue to be thirsty after you eat, there's a natural response for trying to get sufficient water to be able to cleanse your kidney. You should be able to work in getting rid of all of the stuff that's gotten into your bloodstream, and you feel very thirsty after eating. So as long as you're thirsty because of that, you can still make Birkat HaMazon, according to Rish Lakish. Says Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Shalmiya, says Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Shizbi, Tamar Sutra, but that can't be what Rish Lakish holds. Because Omer Vami Omer Rish Lakish, the shear of digestion is a shear of walking for 4 mil. Every meal is 2,000 amma. And of course, the problem is that we've got a lot of different shitas. How much is a meal? That's the famous question of the meal. 18 minutes, 22 minutes, 24 minutes, and so on. Okay, so basically, we do the 72-minute thing, which is that the first year. So what about the stira in Rish Lakish? It's not a stira. It depends how much you ate. If you ate a lot, bakhila meruba, and so there's a bakhlokas rashi, Tosfos here, how to understand it. Anyway, the way we paskin is, if you ate a lot, then as long as you're not hungry, as long as you're thirsty, you're able to say Birkat HaMazon. If you ate a tiny bit, which anyway you were hungry even at the time, but that's all that you had, as we said yesterday, then you would rely on the smaller, you'd have to rely on the smaller shear. Rashi reverses it. Tosfos argues with him. I said over like Tosfos because that's how we pass it. Now, what we said over there, this is nothing to do with what we're talking about. And again, the printer prints the wrong thing. What we need to say is, Ein onim amen achar akuti, unless you hear the whole thing. So you're telling me that if you have a Yisrael that was Mavarach, you say amen, even though you didn't hear the whole bracha, you say amen, you're going to be yotzi. Without amen, how could be yotzi if you didn't hear the whole bracha? Omer Chia Barav, who says he's being yotzi? He's not being yotzi. He just wants to say amen. We're talking about over here a guy who didn't eat with these people. He just heard a guy saying amen. We're not talking about who wants to be yotzi. He just wants to say amen. So if you hear the Baruch Atah Hashem, you don't know what it was, that's fine. Omer Chia Barav, Rav Chiya taught, Armalei Rav L'Chiya Barei, Rav taught Chiya, my dear son, if you got a chance to grab that kosher bracha and be the one who's going to say the bracha and berkat hamazon, this was at the time that everybody was yotzi with the mevorech, try to get it, because it's better to say the bracha than to say amen. V'chein omer Rav Huna l'Rabba Barei. Grab that kosher bracha if you can, get them to give it to you, and you be the one that's mevorech. So you're telling me now that it's a bigger schutz to be the mevorech than to say amen? Doesn't the brayta say that Rav Yosi Omer Gadol HaOneh Amen Yoter Min HaMevorech? The guy who says amen is even greater than the one who said the bracha. Amar Lei Rabbi Nuhurai, oh my gosh, you're absolutely right, I swear. Shamayim Kenu, it's obvious. Take a look at a war, okay? You send in the cannon fodder to do all the work, all right? So now you've lost 100,000 guys. That's fine. In walks the big general, and he just got a big victory, right? So what did he do? He said amen, basically. And he's the guy that gets all the coven. So the same thing is true over here. So they let the guy do all the work at saying the bracha. You say amen, and then you be Mr. Big Heap General. Why not? So it says the Gemara, yes, you have the same thing. Gulari and Yordin, Mizgaram, and Milchom, and the Giborim, Yordin, and Menatzchim. The truth is, it's Machlokas Tanoim, the Tanya. The Echad Mevarech and Echad Oneh Amen are both included in the wonderful pasuk of giving bracha v'tehillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both of them are b'mashma, because we know that you are considered to be an Oneh, is considered to be the equivalent of the Mevarech. And it says over there, Baruch Hu Et Hashem Elokeichem V'yivarchu Shem Kvodecha. That's referring to those psukim. Everybody was included in those psukim. But nonetheless, the schar comes more quickly to the mevorech. Can you say amen when a child is learning a bracha? You hear the child learning that bracha. Do you say amen or not? You always say amen when you hear a bracha, except for when you hear a child learning a bracha in school, because he's not making a bracha. He is just basically learning to repeat certain words. But there's no bracha on anything. He wasn't chayav to make a bracha at that moment. But that, of course, is talking about kedalo eidan miftarayu. This is only when it's not the time when they're saying maftir is one lashon miftarayu, because the minig was to give kids the maftir, so they used to say the bracha on the man. Then, of course, it's a real bracha. So then you say the amen. Avabida miftarayu onim, or some have the girsa maftirayu to be matir themselves, pater themselves from a real bracha. If he is, the psak halacha is, if he's old enough to be mechanech with a bracha, so then you say amen if it's a real bracha that he's making at that time. If it's just like a little kid that is too young to be mechanech, which parents like to do nowadays, you know, it's like the competition for the kindergarten. You know, who gets to read when they're two? The question of how good it is for their mind and so on is not the issue. I can outdo the shchinim. So then it's not a case for saying amen. So is the psak, apparently. So Mr. Zoll says that if you don't use oil, and the place is a place where people would generally use oil, then you can't say Birkat HaMazon. And Me'idach, you can continue to eat because you're not ready for Birkat HaMazon. Whereas Rabbi Zivoy, who always see things as shiny, and the oil is only there to make things have a ziv, he says, nah, it's not ma'akev. Whereas Rabbi Acha says, even if you use really high-class oil with all types of delicious smells and so on, and that like seems to be overdone, even that's ma'akev if that's the minhag. Whereas Mr. Filthy says, Rabbi Zuhumai Omer, in the same way that filth is possible, somebody who smells is a kohen. He's possible for Aveda. If he's got smelly hands, he's possible for the bracha. Says Rabbi Nachum Bar Yitzchak, listen, I don't know all about this. Ziloy, Zivoy, Zuhamoy. I mean, these are weirdos. What's going on over here with these funny names? I know a brisa. I think we should just stick with a brisa, you know? And the brisa says, Omer Rav Yudah Marav. Now, that's a familiar name, you know? And some say it's even a brisa. Vehitka Dishtem refers to Mayim Rishonim. Vehitem Kedoshim refers to Mayim Achronim. Ki Kodesh Zeshemen Oni refers to giving the bracha to Ani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes, the Gra takes out Ani Hashem, the Hashem Elokeichem, because he says that's not the bracha, that's not the pasuk we're referring to, says the Gra. We're referring to the pasuk there in the Shemini. We're not referring to the pasuk in Kedeshim Tiyu. So there is no Kedosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Hadron Aloch Elo Devorim is Sir Richard.